Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Wednesday, February the 5th, 2014, and our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Need your heart. I seem to be having some problems with my phone kicking in and out, so if it does, let me know. But otherwise, I will hold that it stays operational. And welcome to the
show. It's a little bit muffled.
Okay, well, not much I can do there.
Okay.
Excuse our technical difficulties, folks.
So while Michael's getting his microphone or whatever set up, for those of you who are new to the show, you can go to our website at www.whyagain, that's whyagain.org. You can download Michael's book. There's all the worksheets, lots of information, lots of it free. And then our show is here Monday through Friday to help support you with any questions you have. Are you back, Michael?
I am. Let's see how that works. Does that sound any better?
Much better. Yes, it is.
Oh, good. Okay, well, let's just see how it unfolds. In any event, we're delighted that you're here to share this space with us. We're honored that you've chosen to take some time to enter into the conversation about first century Aramaic forgiveness. Our project, as we mentioned pretty much on a daily basis, is that of really truly bringing human life into full expression on a planet-wide scale. And when we talk about human life, we're not talking about what we call live human bodies, because the bodies are not the life. The bodies are just an expression of life.
Michael, you just disappeared. We heard you say a new expression of life, and then you were gone. So while we're waiting for him to get back on, I see Michelle's in the chat room, and she says that they've had another crazy snowstorm in Michigan. And she has a new listener on. So that's awesome. So we would love to hear any questions that our new listener has.
Did they get to go to the prison yesterday?
Oh, I don't know, Michelle, did you get to go to the prison? I don't see her on the switchboard, but she is.
Is Rex on the switchboard?
Rex, I don't see him either. So, no, neither one of them's on the switchboard. Let's see what Michelle says in the chat room. Yes, they did go to the prison yesterday. So that's awesome.
Well, I guess we'll just have to wait for an update from them.
So how are you doing, Tim?
I'm doing quite well, thanks. I was just this morning, we had some snow up here, and my 9 o'clock canceled. And so I spent some of that time listening to the Friday show again and taking some notes about Dale's I call it riffing when he gets on a roll like that and he just starts picking one word and one sound and then blends into another. And he was talking about our true essence, the nature of our being here is love, and that the first commandment is that we hold that energy of love in our minds before we think about God, neighbor, and or ourselves in order to maintain our true selves, as Michael was talking about, which is that essence of love. And it was just, it was
really
delightful to have that recorded and be able to go back and listen again and again is one of the delights of my life. Michael,
well,
are you
back? One of the delights of our lives is that you come to play with us every day. Are you hearing me, Tim?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I've got a new phone, and it's giving me some challenges here, so I apologize.
Well, whatever you're doing right now, you're coming across loud and clear.
Okay, cool.
So
well, do you have any... go ahead.
Did you hear that Rex and Michelle are not yet available to talk about the prison, but they did get to go yesterday?
Cool. Well, we'll hope that they get to join us before the show is complete. No, I did not hear that. My phone seems to be cutting in and out here.
We do have a 517 number on the switchboard. I don't recognize it, but let's see if perhaps it's one of them. 517, you're on the air. Who do we have?
Hey, my name is Michael.
Hi, Michael.
Welcome, Michael.
How are you?
You're blessed and highly favored.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Bless you back. I was actually calling to speak to Miss Pache. But
okay.
I'm
not sure that she's on the show yet. I think Dr. Kim just said that she wasn't available
yet. Not on yet?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She's in the chat room, and she said, that she knows you, Michael, but she's not where she can talk, but she is listening.
Yeah, she's my therapist. Tell her to hurry her brother up. But I can mess around and talk to you for a little bit.
Sure. What can we help you with?
Well, you know, I don't know. I pretty much have like a life turnaround situation. I don't know. I found out my wife was cheating on me. Well, let me start before that. I'm normally passive. I am passive. I let stuff go. I just be like, whatever. You know, I really don't address stuff unless it's like really serious stuff. So,
right.
I was passive for a long time. And I just happened to find out that my wife was talking to a guy she worked with. And who knows what else she did with the guy, right? Okay, so her and I, we argued a lot. I was working 10 hours, 7 days a week. I come home, and I go upstairs to take a nap. And I wake up, it's a U-Haul truck in the driveway and a moving company. So she moving everything out. So I'm like, what? I mean, I had a lot of anger built up for a long time.
How are you doing with that anger?
Miss Fashay, she's been helping me with it, actually. I've been letting it go.
Have you been doing the reality management worksheet process?
Huh?
Have you been doing the worksheet process, the forgiveness process?
See, I don't fall into all that stuff. I was raised on a southern background. We were kind of raised up where you just deal with stuff. You don't do all the extra stuff. But, I mean, you know, to continue my story, I started drinking too much.
What I'd love to do is find out how we can support you. Because what we've found over the years in doing this work is that
if we get a room full of people together, let's say, for instance, we do intensive workshops. We get a room full of people together, and everybody starts telling their story. We can spend a whole month listening to stories and not get any work done. What I've found to be more productive is... Exactly. So I probably won't. But
you there? You still there?
Well, we are here, but Michael seems to have dropped off. What he was about to say...
I'm here.
Okay. What he was about to say is that rather than tell the story over and over again, which keeps us stuck in the story and has us repeating what we did yesterday and last week and last year and 10 years ago, this work is about dismantling the part of my mind that's holding the anger, that's holding the energy from past traumas and thoughts and beliefs about it, which I'm carrying around with me all day, every day, even on my good days. And I won't know it's there unless someone or something comes along and happens the way I didn't want it to happen, and all of a sudden the anger, which I've been carrying around with me for days, weeks, months, or years, comes to the surface, and then I believe the person or the situation outside of me caused the pain I brought into the situation.
Well,
so
I mean,
what we're going to have to invite you to do, rather than get into the story, is learn about the tools and either go apply the tool of the reality management worksheet or bring a question about when you tried to apply happened.
Well, my thing is, I was just looking online. I think I'm just going to go buy a punching bag and just punch the hell out of it. And I think, you know, I mean, when I was younger, I mean, I'm 40 now. I can't do it no more. I mean, I probably could if I wanted to, but it's unreasonable. You know, we used to just, I mean, we used to fight, you know, we used to fight a lot and stuff in the neighborhood and all that stuff.
Okay,
and,
so the thing
and that was a stress relief. And that was a stress relief.
All right.
So
the
I think when you do that fighting, does it result
in you having less anger?
No, I just want to punch it back.
All right.
So then,
Michael?
Who is this?
This is Jeannie. Do you want to change things, or do you want to repeat what just happened with you and your wife again with someone else?
Man, you know, it took me a minute to let that stuff go. I pretty much have let it go. I had let it go. And then
question,
I was telling you, let
Michael,
me finish talking, please. Let me finish talking before you tell me anything. Let me finish talking to you. Don't know the whole story.
Well, we don't need to know all
the
story to
know
what will work.
Well, you do need to know everything.
No, we don't need to know the story, Michael, because the story keeps you stuck in it.
Because after all this stuff, we got divorced. 3 weeks later, she got married to a whole different man. So now I'm pissed all over again. How about that?
But the point is,
you do need to know that.
We don't need to know that, because that will just help you tell your story to somebody else and then repeat it telling to somebody else.
And you feed the energy of your anger. Y'all asked me to talk to y'all. I don't walk around, my wife divorced me. I don't walk around.
Okay, but listen, Michael, now can you listen just one moment?
And I'll be silent.
Okay, listen just one moment. All right, it doesn't matter who is doing what to who. If we hold something inside of us, a fear, anger, or whatever, and we don't address that, we're going to continually have the same thing happen in our life again and again and again. It may be a different face. It may be a different name. But, see, all of those energies are actually destroying you. And life doesn't want you to destroy yourself. And so it's going to send you every opportunity, every person, situation, whatever, to bring those same emotions forward until you deal with them. And the tool that we're wanting to offer you is how do you deal with them. And so my question to you was, do you want to repeat that same story in your life again with someone else? Because Michael, you asked me to stop and let you talk a minute ago, so I'm going to ask you the same courtesy.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so you will repeat it in your life. Punching a bag doesn't get rid of it. It might help you relieve some of the stress in your physical body. It may get you so tired that you don't think about it or whatever. But those energies are still within until you deal with them. And it will continue to destroy you. So what we have to offer you has nothing really to do with your wife or anybody else. It has to do with how do you go inside and remove all of the energies in you that bring up that desire to go punch a bag. I mean, the fighting and all of those other things don't change it. And so if you want to change it, we have the tool for you to change it.
What's the tool? Give me something that sounds reasonable and I might listen.
Okay. We have a worksheet online that you can actually print off. Michelle Pache also has it, and she knows how to use it, and she can show it to you as well.
Where is
and she? Help you walk through it.
Anyway.
Well, she can't get on the phone, so she's in the chat room and she's listening. So she will have the background of what all we have talked about, and then when you see her again, you'll be able to work with her on it. Okay.
I wanted to talk to her on the radio. It would have been fun.
Well, she's listening, and so she will be able to work with you and show you the worksheet. She said she just said that you don't know the worksheet. She hasn't shown it to you yet.
No.
So that is the tool that we have, and she can show it to you, and she knows it works. And
man,
it's a tool to go inside.
Okay,
let me get you to do something.
I tried all the paper programs, all the sit-down and chat programs, and I tried all of that BS. She's pretty much been the most, the person that's helped me the most throughout this.
Well, she will help you do this as well. She'll help you do this as well because she knows how to do the worksheet. But it gets you to look at, you know, anytime there's something going on in your life where you have stress going on, that something is happening and you want it to happen differently. That creates a stress, and the only way you can get rid of that stress is to either achieve the goal, whatever it is you're going for, or to cancel the goal. And that seems crazy. You know, your goal in this situation is that you want your...
I mean, it makes sense.
Okay. So the goal you had in this situation was for your wife to do differently. And when she didn't, it created a stress. So unless you can achieve the goal of her doing it the way you want her to do it, then you have to let go of the goal for her to do it that way. And until you do that, it will hold a stress in your body.
But I mean, all right, so what helps the anxiety when I go to pick my boys up and she got this dude laying in the bedroom watching my TV.
Okay.
With my dogs in the house.
Michael, listen, please. Those things are not what's causing you problems. What's causing you problems is what's inside of you. Because I'll give you an example, and this is maybe doesn't seem to be as dramatic of an example, but it's the same. It works with anybody, anything that's going on. I used to have an issue that I didn't feel like people listened to me. And we were doing a workshop one day, and I mean, I have done a lot of work around it, done a lot of the worksheets I'm talking about to cancel a goal for somebody to listen to me. And there was never a point in time where I could go, aha, I've worked through it. It's no longer an issue. However, one day we were doing a workshop, and I was giving somebody some feedback. And after we took an intermission for lunch, this lady came up to me and asked if she could talk to me. And we went into another room, and she said, I just wanted to point out, she said, did you notice that when you were talking to him, he didn't listen to you? And it had never even come into my awareness because I didn't hold that energy any longer that somebody wasn't listening to me. So the same thing can happen. You know, you said you were brought up in the South, and I was too. You can probably tell by the accent. So
I can't
one
too.
Of the
where
some
at?
Of the
where about
some in Tennessee. So some of the biblical stories. One of them was of
Louisiana
Jesus who
here.
Was walking. Pardon?
I said Louisiana here, Lake Charles.
Okay, all right. So one of the stories is when Jesus was walking on water and there was this huge storm going on, and the disciples were in a boat and they were scared. And one of them said, "If you ask me to step out, I know I can walk on water." And so he said, well, come on. And so Peter stepped out, and as long as he kept his focus where he was going, he walked on water. Now, the same
that
storm
faith.
Was going on.
That,
the storm didn't
faith,
change.
Right.
Right.
I know the
what
story.
Was inside
I know,
of him
me,
and the
I'm well-versed
okay.
in the Bible. That's faith. That was the faith thing.
Okay, but it's also, it's belief.
And
it's
belief,
also changing
yeah,
your focus.
Yeah. Jesus told him to calm down and go to bed. And he
but
calmed the sea. Yeah, I remember
he did
that.
Calm the storm, and Peter walked on water. But when he started paying attention to the storm, he sank again. And it's the same thing in our life. You know, when your wife's doing all the things that she's doing, that's your storm. But once you handle what's going on inside of you and you keep your focus on where you're going and let go of the goals
yeah.
or something different, you can walk on water, yeah. literally and figuratively. But as long
you
as the storm's still going on in you, that's all you're going to see
is
the trigger
I mean,
outside.
It's the trigger. Yeah. You know, I'm pretty good about her. She can do whatever she wants. Women come by dime a dozen. She older than me anyway. I don't care. I mean, I can
but
get a woman.
But apparently you do care.
You can ask
when
me.
You were
can
saying.
Ask, well, I'm saying, listen to this. Just listen to me for a second.
All right. And Michael's back on with
I get women.
I've got a thought.
I get women, like, every day.
Yeah.
I get, like,
okay.
I can holler at anybody
on
hold
for a minute? Can you
yes,
put
sir.
The conversation on hold for a minute?
I'll shut up.
Okay. So, unfortunately, my phone has been acting up, so I missed the last few minutes of the conversation. But I did just come in a minute ago, and, you know, one of the things that people do, for instance, you'll hear it on television, is that when they're going to make war on somebody, they degrade them. They use degrading language toward them. I don't know if
yeah.
you saw the movie. What was it? One of the countries in Africa.
Well, right.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. You don't have to put out
well,
a movie
hold
for
on.
Me.
Hold on. You haven't heard me out yet.
Okay.
Hear me out. So
if
you watch that movie Rwanda, when the whichever group it was going out to kill the other, the radio announcer would call the people that were the target of their hostility cockroaches. And every kind of
yep.
name they could think of to degrade them. If you look at every war that's ever happened, there's always a degrading term for the person that is the object of the attack and the hostility.
Right.
And
right.
that's something that we do in order to put somebody in a category where we can say words like, I don't care. We wouldn't be having this conversation, my friend, if you didn't care. And notice
no,
that you've been degraded.
Y'all didn't let me finish my statement. I don't care. I don't care if she's with another guy. She's a woman.
Yeah.
I can get a. I don't know.
So,
you don't know what I look like or whatever. But
I can get another woman.
I could walk outside my parents' house right now and catch a girl at the bus
Good.
Stop.
So I'm going to ask you to stop. Your conversation.
The only thing is, I do get irritated by another man being around my kids. That's
yeah.
what I was trying to. I didn't get to finish my statement, and that's
yeah.
that is
but,
what I was trying to say.
Okay,
that's the only thing
it.
That irritates me.
I got it.
So that's your
it.
Storm.
So here's my input. When you use degrading language about someone. You can put them in a category where you can say things like,
I
don't
degrading.
Care.
I just said I don't care. How
well,
is that degrading?
When you say women are
if,
a dime
I mean,
a dozen.
If I don't care,
excuse
I don't
me.
Care. I got over
excuse
it.
Me.
I dumped that hunk.
Yeah. Yeah. So if women are a dime a dozen, if that's your statement about them, that's called degrading. That's the same thing as calling somebody a cockroach so you can
well,
kill them. That's
it,
my input
I,
to you. And the reason
well,
I don't
that's
I'm
how
not
you,
interested
that's
in
how you,
story
that's how you take it. I don't look at women like that. I'm a very picky individual.
Yeah.
I don't
I'm
just go out
to
get anybody.
Okay.
That's why I'm single right now still.
Yeah.
I'm not concerned with having another woman. I got five
10 phone numbers in my pocket wallet right now of women's
numbers.
Okay,
I got it. You're
that
a hero.
I never called.
I don't need to know about that. I'm not interested in that. What I'm interested
you,
in doing is supporting you.
You're trying to make me sound like I'm. You're trying
what,
to make me sound like
what
I just
you need
don't
to
give
get
a shit.
Well, I'm only repeating your words back to you. I'm not making you sound like anything. I'm repeating your words back to you. And I understand you've got a story, and you can carry
been
on
all
your story.
Kind of, you've been all condescending and stuff. I don't need this shit. Where's Michelle at? I want to
okay.
talk to Michelle. I
well, then we can stop the conversation. That's okay.
I don't want to talk to you. Put
okay.
the girl back
That's
on.
Cool.
Put the
That's
put
cool.
Robin. I think that was her name. Put her back on
no,
the phone.
It's Jeannie, and I'm here.
Well, Jeannie's all right, here.
You. That's what I want to talk to.
Here's what I know about
I don't
want
to hear your. I don't want to hear your. I don't want to hear your
okay.
upper all class
right, cool.
white bullshit.
Well, I appreciate you calling. Thank you. All right. So here's my input, and, you know, whether you choose to listen to it or not, that's okay. This is a great example of the whole principle of the work. And my point is that once we pass an error in our minds, we can make up all kinds of things and try to figure it out, and we're going to end up stuck in the same cycle, in the same why is this happening to me again experience. When I degrade somebody to put them in a category where I can say, I don't care about them, and then go on with my story, I just missed the root of my own error. And what we're here to do is to support people in looking at where they've blocked truth and look at the root of their own error. And I'm going to offer to you, if you're still listening, and if you're not, that's cool too, but I'm going to offer to you that the place you have to start is in your own errors. And one of the errors you make is to degrade people, and I don't care how you cut it, when you tell me that women are a dime a dozen, you're telling me that you're putting them in a category in your mind that degrades them, including your wife. And I'll offer that the one who gets the original of that degrading energy is you. And that's where your work starts, is to clean that up in you. And when you talk about it's your another man being around your kids that irritates you, we call that denial in this work. And I understand that when you're fed truth back and you're living in denial, stress comes up. And I hear you, and I got that you're stressed. And no, I don't want to have a conversation with anybody that shows me where I'm in error. If you're interested in truth, really, truly interested in truth, that's what we're here to support you with. And so we're happy to have you with us and happy to have the conversation. And you're going to have to stop your story long enough, because I can spin my wheels for eternity in my story and never get anywhere. Somewhere I've got to stop and be willing to receive some feedback. And even if it's feedback that I don't like, that's one of the ways I get past block to truth. And so appreciate your call. And Jeannie, do we have anything happening in the chat room or any other callers?
Just several conversations, you know, that they agree, you know, said, you know, apologies, but I muted his microphone, and hopefully you will re-listen to this with Michelle. And hear it on a different level. And everybody's just holding the space. Michael, if you're still on there, everyone in the chat room says they're just holding the space for your healing and seeing the best in you and to see you come to some peace. And we do have another caller.
Cool. Well, let's listen to our caller.
It's area code 954. You're on the air. Who do we have?
Welcome, 954. Give us your name. Where are you calling from?
This is Dora for Unstuck Wednesday.
Well, hey there, young lady. It must be Wednesday.
Yes, it is. Unstuck Wednesday. Greetings to everybody.
All right.
Help us get unstuck, Dora.
Yes. Well, the universe was so kind, you know, because I'm working on the money issue, and the universe brought me another issue about my relatives, which I had no idea about. After I got upset for a couple of days, and then I sat down and started doing sheets, you know, Michael Rice sheets, I call them, I started to calm down and relax. And then what I realized, it just brought me to such a deeper level. And so other things are, coming up that have to deal, you know, for me, it's like the iceberg. So you keep chipping away at the top and you keep getting down lower and lower. So once I calmed down, started doing the sheets, I think I spent a weekend and just did sheets all day long. So that was
awesome.
Good. But the
sounds like you're getting unstuck.
Yeah, most definitely. And I needed to see that in order to go to a deeper level. So that's been good. And Yes, so all is good, and it's kind of even stirring some things up with work, and so doing more sheets about that. And somebody asked me how long I've been at this one place, and I said 10 years, and I said, it just gives me so much information and worksheets to do. I said, it's great. You know, the same place for 10 years. Yeah. So that's where we're at for our Unstuck Wednesday, so we're doing well. And I hope everybody else is doing well. How are you and Jeannie?
Hey, why don't you don't you share with us what brought you to starting this idea of Unstuck Wednesdays and sharing it with us and getting the whole community involved?
Oh, yes. I have a number of friends that are very conscious individuals, and they work on their issues. What there's other tools, and they all do that. But we're talking to somebody, they're going, you know, everybody is still stuck. And I'm saying, this doesn't make any sense. I myself personally have been with Michael and Jeannie for 3 years now, plus I have other tools that I've been using, yet I'm still stuck. So Michael said, well, let's, you know, create an unstuck day and try to everybody focus on becoming unstuck, and, you know, just so we can just keep raising our consciousness. And so that's where we came with Unstuck Wednesday. It just needs to be done. You know, the more work we do, somebody put it this way to me, the more the sheets that I do not only heals me, but it heals the consciousness, the universal consciousness. And when I realized that, through not only helping myself, but, and then like Michaelson once said, helping everybody in my bloodline, we're helping the universe too.
There's a great line. Great line in the Course in Miracles that says, when you are healed, you are never healed alone, and millions yet unborn will benefit from the work you do. And each person who chooses to stop their story and their hostility and fear conversation and chooses to return to the truth of who they are as love absolutely opens an energy window, opens a space for everybody else on the planet to do the same. So we appreciate the work you're doing, and just over the last, well, what have we known you now, 3 years? The
monumental
amount of work you've done is awesome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And I appreciate both of you. And it's nice to know that I can do my little part, you know, and everybody that listens to you and does your worksheets and attends your programs or even just goes online and uses the tools is doing their part too. And the more people that can do this, the more you're going to heal the planet, which is definitely needed.
For sure. We're on it.
Okay, good. Have a good day, everybody. And we'll talk to you next week.
All right, we appreciate you. Blessings. Sorry.
Thank
bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye.
Okay, our next caller is area code 561. You're on the air. Who do we have and where are you calling from?
Welcome, 561. Give us a name. Where are you calling from? Are you with us, 561? I think that's Boca Raton, Florida area.
Perhaps your mute button's on. We've done that.
Area code 561. One last time. We'll see if we can catch you. Maybe you stepped away from the phone. Okay, we've got another caller. We'll come back to you.
Okay, area code 417. You're on the air. Who do we have?
Hi, everyone. This is Magda.
Hi, Magda.
Hi there, young lady. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you so much. Well, I'm calling today at your request, Michael, because we were chatting recently about how I'm no longer stuck with my addiction to sugar, and you recommended that I call in on Wednesday because of Dora and some challenges that she has had in the past with sugar, and because it's Unstuck Wednesday. So I'm just going to relate what happened with me. And I know, Dora, you and I talked about this when I saw you in Florida at Jeannie's wonderful Women Healing Women intensive. But I'll just bring you up to date, and this is very, very exciting for me to be able to say. So my story starts when I was age 4, and I have been addicted to sugar ever since then. And I generally like my sugar in the form of chocolate, but I'll take it any way I can get it. Or I should say I have been addicted. So few months ago, I was reaching deep. When I was doing my worksheets, it was taking me into deep territory, getting in touch with a lot of hurts and pains that I had not wanted to look at. And what I was noticing is that I was shoveling the sugar in all manner and form for, I think it was like a couple of weeks before I realized, oh my goodness, this is kind of a sign that I've got some things I'm resisting looking at. And I was also resisting doing more worksheets. So I just decided, I need to deal with this. I got some worksheets out, and I got the candy, the chocolate, sitting right next to the worksheets on the table, and I said, if this is the only way I'm going to get myself to do worksheets, I'm going to do it. And I went ahead and continued eating my chocolate candy while I was doing my worksheet.
One worksheet, one candy?
No, many candies. And as much as I could put into my mouth as I was doing each point in the worksheet. What happened, though, and this is the beauty of it, is that because I allowed myself to go deeply into my addiction with the sugar as I was doing the worksheet, it revealed something that I don't think I would have ever gotten to any other way, and that was that in that the portion in the worksheet where it says, what are the thoughts that create these feelings in you? And the immediate thought that came to my mind was, I don't care. And, boy, that echoed so loudly in my head. I don't care, because I had said that to myself over and over again throughout my life. Every time I was surrendering to my addiction and my opinion was, I just don't care. Well, as I moved through that worksheet, before I got to the end of that worksheet, by the way, I stopped eating the candy. Not because I chose to. I just didn't want it anymore. I was more interested in doing the process. Then as I pursued this trail of I don't care with the next worksheet and the next, what became evident was that what the bottom line was, that was the opinion I thought my father had when he acted certain ways toward me. I thought he didn't care about me. So my child's brain at that point in my life decided that if he didn't care about me, and of course he was God because he was a grown-up and I was a little thing, if he didn't care about me, then I must not be worthy of being cared about. And
wow,
so this whole unworthiness thing was embedded. And therefore, if he didn't care about me, I wouldn't care about myself either. So it was definitely a power person situation that was causing all of this. The good news is that since I did that work, I have no longer been addicted to sugar. And that is fantastic. And that's what I want to share with Dora, is that it wasn't the only piece of work I've ever done on sugar and chocolate. There have been many, many, many before this. And that was like the last one. Say that again, please.
I say that was the breakthrough one, was that particular series of worksheets.
Absolutely, because it dug down deep enough, drilled down to where it came from, was that that projection about my father's thoughts. And realized
that's the root of every addiction. I don't care whether it's alcohol, drugs, sugar, caffeine, nicotine, whatever it is there's a cry for it from the structure in order to keep whatever is too painful to feel from being felt. And when you allow yourself to go into whatever it is and allow yourself to feel it in the presence of love, that's when it begins to dissolve. And addiction after addiction after addiction will tend to disappear. So that's pretty awesome. Now, I have never thought about recommending somebody sit down with a box of chocolates and worksheets, but hey, if it worked for you, go for it. That's pretty cool.
I was desperate. I was feeling so much stress and anxiety because I knew there was something down there that I didn't want to feel. I could see it, you know, in my behavior that I was using the sugar to suppress. And so I realized I've got to do something. And, yeah, so it worked. I'm not sure I would recommend people with other addictions to do that, but it worked for me that time. So I just wanted to plug that in and say, hi, Dora. There's hope. There's a lot of hope using these materials and these tools, and you already know that. And,
well, that's exciting. Very exciting.
Okay, so that's it.
We're certainly glad you're on the team. By the way, for anybody who doesn't know Magda, Magda is a relatively new neighbor who's been doing this work now for about, I don't know, 8 or 9 years and just moved to Heartland, or she and Chuck bought a farm right next door to us. So they're our newest neighbors at Heartland. And Magda's the one who listens to the show along with Susan on a daily basis and does the synopsis for the MP3s. So when you're looking at the MP3s and deciding which show you're going to listen to in the archives, Magda's one of the ones you've got to thank for putting that descriptor on there so you know what the show covered. So thank you very much. We certainly appreciate all the contributions that you and Chuck make to our lives and to our work in helping to uplift us to get it to the next level. It's pretty awesome.
Oh, you are so entirely welcome. It is my pleasure. And by the way, I've been doing your work for about 5 years, so I look forward to who I'm going to be after 8 or 9 years of doing this work.
All right, yes. It just seems like 8 or 9 years.
In the chat room, they wanted to know if this concept would be wine and worksheets.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily suggest you go to the things that render you unconscious. Because before you, the sugar takes years before it knocks people over to where they literally fall over. Wine, well, you know, that can be done in an hour. So I'd be careful about that one.
All right.
I completely agree. So I'll let you go and let some other callers come in and bless you both for the work you're doing. I love you and all of our family out there. And I'll tell you to have a wonderful and blessed and loving day.
All right.
Thank you. Love you.
Bye.
Love you.
How cool is that? What a great story. So you got another caller, Jeannie.
561 came back. So let's see if we can get them this time. 561, you're on the air. Who do we have? Hello, 561. I don't know if you've got your mute button on. We're not hearing you.
There you are. Oh, my God. How are you doing? I don't know. Because I had the headphones, so that's why you couldn't hear me. Oh, there you go. Hi, Jeannie. Hi, Michael. This is Rashida again.
Kathy?
This is Rashida.
Rashida. Oh, okay.
Welcome.
Thanks. I emailed you, but I don't know what happened. So did you get my email?
I did get your email. We've just been on the road. We actually just arrived here last night, so we're catching up with things. But, yes, I did get your email.
Great. And I'm listening to you guys every day, and I'm checking the website and all that. I just want to, ask a question about when I was hearing the gentleman earlier, when I hear the grating tone, triggers kind of fear in me. Yesterday or 2 days ago, I heard the story in Florida. I think everybody heard that a man stabbed his wife to death, and I knew the person. It was really sad, story. And it just, and I'm trying to do worksheet around that. And I got to the part, being afraid of violent people or angry, especially men.
Right.
And then the goal is for them to be gentler. But I'm still left with this kind of, fear and anxiety. I don't know. I choose to know. But...
Well, then, there's your next piece of work is your worksheets on fear. And your worksheets on anxiety until you can get free of the fear and the anxiety, and we can put an end to this violence in conversation that people do to each other before they move to the next level of physical violence. Because what we've noticed is that always, or pretty much always, if not in actual words, at least in thoughts, people do the violence verbally before they move to physical violence. So you hear someone who's about to be attacked physically, and you hear the names that they're being called, the language, the words you're being used toward them, and what you know is that this person is now placing the person they're ready to attack in a category in their mind where they are able to be perceived as other than self and not worthy of care and concern. And, you know, that's the reason why I was attempting to stop that gentleman earlier in his conversation, because once we pass one error in the mind, the tendency is to just keep going. Every other error is built on that, and every other error seems logical. You know, when I say, you know, in that particular case, women are a dime a dozen, how degrading is that to the awesome creation that you and I are as human beings? But then the next violence can be done of, I don't care. The next violence beyond that becomes, you know, oftentimes, unfortunately, physical violence. And it's got to be dealt with at its root. And when we can catch our mind dropping the quality of our perception with our words, that can oftentimes be the quickest and easiest place to be restored to the truth of who we are and carry out in the real world what we really want to be carrying out, and that's something different. And, you know, the violence has got to stop in every direction, whether it's the parent to the child to the parent, one adult to another. I know that we were in a store not too long ago, and Jeannie was in line behind a woman who had a two or three-year-old boy in her cart. You know, she's checking out, and this little boy is reaching for the grapes and wants a grape, and his mother just goes into a fit of rage over him trying to get a grape out of the bag of groceries that she's buying. And Jeannie checked out and went out ahead of him, and as this woman was bringing her little boy out of the store, she hears the little boy say to Mom, "Mom, don't beat me. I love you." After the big fuss in the store and the tears and all of that, here's a three-year-old boy who's learned already that he's displeased Mom and he's about to be beaten. And unfortunately, you know, that young man is going to become someone who's going to grow up to become an abuser of the representative of the person who abused him, which is going to be an abuser of women. And, you know, there's so many places where this cycle continues. And when we come back to, and that's one of the reasons why we have the commitment, you know, I promise to trust you enough to treat you lovingly, gently, and with respect in my thoughts, my words, and my actions, whether I'm in your presence or not. And to give each person we interact with that gift, whether they seem to deserve it or not, means that we get to give that gift to ourselves. And when we give that gift to ourselves, we heal. And so I certainly join with you and hold the space for those issues of fear to be dissolved within you. Because as Job gave us a lesson many centuries ago, that which I feared most has come upon me. Fear is an emotional amplifier that sets us up for the thing feared. And so the cycle has to be stopped everywhere that we can possibly stop it. And we're certainly here to hold the space and support you in that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Michael.
Well, we're glad to be on your team.
Thank you.
And we're delighted that you're on ours. It's awesome.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. Bless you guys.
All right. You have an awesome day.
You too.
Okay. Blessings. Bye-bye.
So we have about 9 minutes left. If anyone else has a question, 646-200-4169 is their call-in number. Press 1 and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we'd love to hear your comments and your questions. We have about 9 minutes left.
So, Dr. Kim, do you have any comments on any of the conversation that's happening or has happened so far today?
Well, just that I'm holding the space of love for all involved. It's clear there's a lot of pain in the minds of several of us who are listening, and Michael, who was talking, and so I'm just sitting here sending love and breathing, and I heard a different piece, or I know I've heard this from you before, but I heard it in a different way today. The importance of identifying in my mind, in my language, that oh-so-easy step of disrespecting someone with my language and moving them from a place of equality and connectedness in my mind to one of being less than and to be degrading in my mental activity towards someone. It makes it so easy to then move to the step of being disrespectful with my actions. So I heard that at a different level, and that's really resonating deeply for me. I know that a lot of my work and worksheets has been focused on how I would do that to myself or hold a negative image or conclusion about myself. And that really resonated with me from Magda when Magda was talking about really digging deep into one of those core beliefs she was holding from childhood, where she simply identified with one of her power people who thought she wasn't worth listening to or worth respecting. And so watching that more in my own thought and my own words is a big part of what I'm taking out of the show today.
Well, if you look, it's interesting. The core issue was such a big one for Magda that she got to as, I'm not cared about. I'm not worth caring about. And then tie that back to Michael's language of, I don't care about her. And obviously, when you have children with someone, there is a point where caring is probably a pretty deep part of the process. And the hostile language, it's a way to cover that caring, that hurt, and that pain. And as we let go of the hostile language, hostility is an internally produced drug that anesthetizes us so we don't feel. And, of course, I certainly understand that my invitation to Michael to just stop and look at the language he was using that is so hostile that it's a cover for a deep, deep level of pain. And to go to that level of pain is a major piece of work, isn't it? I mean, I know you see and work with people every day in your office, and taking them to that level and feeling it, and then in our culture we're so used to drugging ourselves that when we feel it, we just instantly cover it up and things get worse and worse and worse, as opposed to being able to feel it in the context of support and the presence of love, which dissolves it and frees us from it. But that's not the common experience of the world today, to move to that space where I can stop and look inside and really look at that pain, feel that pain, be with that pain. But in the space of love, it's awesome how it dissolves and frees us. And oftentimes, not only us, but, of course, our generations.
Yeah, you were talking about that. We were watching the second half of Why Is This Happening to Me Again in the video last night, and you were talking about opening that energetic space for people in the bloodline, both in the past and in the future. And this is one of the biggest challenges that I have with people in this work, is getting people to realize I can only change me. I can only change what my thought process is, what my energy reserves are, what my beliefs are. And if I keep that focus internal and I restore my conscious awareness to my true nature as the energy of love, all kinds of other things start to fall into place. And I don't know how they fall into place. I don't know how they get worked out, but they just start getting worked out.
They certainly do, don't they?
Yeah, there are shifts in relationship. There are shifts in my energy level. There are shifts in my mood. If I just learn, and I'm continuing to learn to take responsibility for my anger, my fear, my sadness, and go in and dismantle the thoughts and energies that are resonating that in my system.
Well,
so it is a smoke and mirrors thing, and it is an inside job.
Yes. Well, that was what I was just going to say is that, you know, if we jump to step 7 in the worksheet where the point is made, I get the original. That's one of the laws of the universe. If I put out that degrading thought towards someone, I get the original, and I'm now inflicting pain on myself. But when I live in denial and I live in the drug of hostility or any other drug, then I can pretend that that's not real, that I'm, no, that isn't there, that's no problem, when the truth is that's the core of the problem. But recognizing that I get the original, and when I make my thoughts and my words gentle, nurturing, supportive, and loving, even toward the people who seem like they don't deserve it. You know, there's that great statement in the scriptures where Yeshua, you know, gives us the feedback that the Creator allows the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. It's not conditional upon who somebody is or what somebody's doing. When I keep offering that, no matter what somebody seems to deserve, I get it first. I get the original. And so it's a powerful thing to understand, for sure.
Well, it's one of the things that came up last night in the support group as we were doing the worksheet, is that the person who volunteered to do a worksheet came up with a very milquetoast punishment thought. And yet the issue she was doing the worksheet on was a very intense issue, actually a life and death kind of an issue. So we were trying to coach her to get more honestly in touch with what her punishment thought was. And many people have great resistance for that. But when I listen to your lecture over and over again, I keep hearing, yeah, but it's that punishment thought I'm holding for others that's eating me up inside. I get the original first. And if I can't be fully honest about what that punishment thought is, I can't go into that place in my mind that's generating it, and I can't dismantle it. And then I'm stuck with the pain and the deterioration that comes from holding an energy that doesn't belong in my system. And that's part of why I'm still thinking lovingly and sending an energy and prayer to Michael, because he is clearly in so much pain. And unless he's able to dismantle that, it's going to stay in him. And he can't hurt enough people to get rid of the pain that's inside of him.
Exactly. Well, I certainly join you in holding the space for everybody on the planet that's hurting. And, of course, if anybody on the planet's hurting and it matches a hurt that I have, then my hurt starts to move, and I hold the space for me that we all together move forward. You know, one person moves forward in their work, and everybody on the planet has shifted and moved up just that little bit. And we are down to just the last minute or so, so I'm going to say that we appreciate everybody who's participating, the awesome work that so many people are doing, and the feedback that we get from each of you as you do your process is inspiring for each and every one of us. And we invite you to bring a stranger to the show tomorrow and give the world the best gift you can possibly give it, and that is create the best you get of your eternal life. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.